Wellness looks different at every stage. The right support makes all the difference. Shake up your routine with Vital Proteins Collagen Peptides. With 20 grams of collagen sourced from grass-fed, pasture-raised bovine. It helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, bones, and joints. Made with no artificial sweeteners, it's a clean way to fuel your body. So your wellness stays effortless wherever the day takes you. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Patrick Clancy went to pick up dinner. That sentence carries more weight than it should. And if you've been following along in our series this week about the Lindsey Clancy case, you already know why. If you're just joining us, let's get into it. He left the house on Summer Street in Duxbury on the evening of January 24th, 2023, to run an errand his wife had texted him about. Takeout from a restaurant, a stop at CVS, an ordinary Tuesday night for most. He came home, and his wife was lying injured in the backyard. His three children were in the basement. Cora was 5, Dawson was 3, Catlin was 8 months old. He called 911. He stood in that backyard while officers arrived. He went into that house and reached the basement and reportedly yelled 3 words that the first responders who heard them have apparently never forgotten. And then in the days that followed before the country had caught its breath, before most people had even processed the news out of Duxbury, Patrick Clancy released a written statement. He said the shock and pain were excruciating and relentless. He said Cora Dawson and Callan were the essence of his life, and that he was completely lost without them. If you're a parent, you're probably running this through your prism and you're like, yeah, that's how I feel about my living kids. I can't imagine speaking of them in the past tense like that. Then he said something that stopped people in their tracks, something that got forwarded and screenshotted and debated on every platform that exists, something that people called their mothers and their sisters about. He said he wanted to ask everyone to find it within themselves to forgive Lindsay, as he had. As he had already, past tense, done. I know a lot of folks out there who have already made their judgment. I see it in the comments, and you're certainly entitled to your opinion. But I think, like I've said before, if you really want to be honest and look at this case and understand what's going on, this is not the same as many other mothers who ended cases with their children. It really is not. Either you can choose to listen to that information and take it in, or you can make snap judgments. It's up to you. And I'm curious to get your opinion in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through this. The links are in the description. A father whose children had just been taken from this planet had arrived at forgiveness before the rest of us had even finished being shocked. And from that moment on, the Lindsay Clancy case was never just about what happened in the basement. It became about what forgiveness means, what grief looks like when it refuses to follow the expected script, and what it says about all of us that Patrick Clancy's choice to stay, to forgive, to publicly ask others to follow, generated as much controversy as the crime itself. The reactions were immediate and completely divided. There were people who wept reading that statement, who called it the most extraordinary act of grace they had ever witnessed from a human being in the middle of catastrophic loss. People who said Patrick Clancy was modeling something most of us would never be capable of, something they wanted to believe humans could do in the worst moments of their lives. And there were people who were furious. People who said his forgiveness was a betrayal of the three dead children. People who couldn't reconcile the image of Cora, Dawson, and Callan with a husband standing in the wreckage saying he didn't hold their mother responsible. People who believed that forgiveness in a case like this was something Patrick Clancy didn't have the right to extend on behalf of his kids. Both of those reactions are real. Both of them have been loud. And neither of them have been resolved. Patrick Clancy did not speak publicly again about the case for more than a year and a half. He relocated to Manhattan. He moved forward in a way that a man moves forward when he has no other choice, when the alternative is to stop entirely, break down, go on a bender, and never come back. And then in October 24, he sat for an interview with The New Yorker. And the things he said there, carefully and without theater, are some of the most significant words anyone has uttered in connection with this case. He said Lindsay described that night to him as feeling like a snap of the fingers, like she was present in that kitchen on Summer Street, and then in an instant she was somewhere she had no control over and no memory of choosing to go. He said that she had never used the word psychosis with him before, that the language arrived after, in the aftermath, as a framework for something she apparently couldn't have named while it was happening. He said he wasn't angry with her. And then he said the thing that's become the defining quote of the entire case. I wasn't married to a monster. I was married to someone who got sick. You can agree with that. You can push back hard on it. Reasonable people have done both. But what Patrick Clancy is doing in that sentence is making a very specific and deliberate distinction between who Lindsay Clancy was and what Lindsay Clancy already or allegedly did and became. Between the illness and the woman, he is saying those are not the same thing, even when the outcome is three dead children. Even then, he has decided that, and he has said publicly he has not walked it back. What the public record also shows is that Patrick was not a man in denial before January 24th. He was not someone who didn't see it coming and was blindsided by a wife whose illness was invisible to him. A month before the killings, he told a close friend that the medications aren't working, that he believed Lindsay had become addicted to benzodiazepines, that the withdrawals and the side effects were the worst possible. He drove her to appointments. He tried to communicate with their providers. He was watching his wife deteriorate in real time and saying so out loud to the people around him, trying to get someone to do something different, trying to stop something he could feel building but couldn't name or intercept. When it happened anyway, when he came home with dinner and the world ended, he didn't turn his grief at Lindsay. He turned it somewhere else. In January 26, Patrick Clancy filed a wrongful death lawsuit against his wife's psychiatrist and her other medical providers, not against Lindsay, against the people he holds legally and morally responsible for what Lindsay became. The lawsuit names Jennifer Tufts. A psychiatrist, Rebecca Gioletta, a certified nurse practitioner, Aster Mental Health, Inc., and South Shore Health Systems, Inc., as defendants. It accuses them of gross negligence, of failing to coordinate Lindsay's care, of prescribing medications recklessly, of not monitoring her condition as it deteriorated, of missing every signal that should have redirected her to more intensive treatment. The lawsuit names the wrongful deaths of Cora Dawson and Callan Clancy as the direct result of that negligence. Patrick Clancy signed his name to it. That document tells you more clearly than any interview or statement exactly where Patrick Clancy has decided the blame lives. He has decided it formally. He has put it in a filing and submitted it to a court of law. Around Patrick in the months that followed the killings, a community formed that reflected his position even before he articulated it publicly. Dozens of mothers from southeastern Massachusetts, women from Foxborough, Mansfield, Duxbury, all over, submitted letters to the court on Lindsay's behalf. They wrote, "As mothers, we know Lindsay was not in a healthy space to carry out the act she's accused of. We want to stand by her in her darkest hour, as we wish any other mother would do for us if we found ourselves struggling to." They were not excusing the deaths. They were not pretending the loss of those three children was acceptable or minimizable. They were saying something specific and personal. "We've been close enough to the edge of postpartum mental illness to understand that the edge is real, and that the women who go over it are not the same as the women who choose to. We were lucky she wasn't." That sympathy, that empathy, that community of women who recognize something of themselves in Lindsay's story exists alongside a counter-narrative that is equally present and equally loud. There are people who believe the insanity defense is manipulation, that postpartum psychosis is being deployed as a legal shield, that the deaths of Cora Dawson and Callan demand a verdict that holds their mother accountable, regardless of what was happening in her mind. Those people are not wrong to demand justice for three children. This case has never been a situation where one side is entirely right and the other is entirely wrong. It has been, from the first day, a case that demands you hold contradictions simultaneously. Most people find that deeply uncomfortable. Most people want a simpler story. This case has never offered one. And no matter how you try and put this into a box and tie a bow in and go, "See, it's this," it will never be. So stop trying and see what you're dealing with. On February 20th of 2026, Lindsay Clancy appeared in a Plymouth Superior courtroom in person for the first time since 2023. She was brought in by court officers in a wheelchair. She was dressed in a black suit, a silver cross at her throat, her hair straight down. She sat quietly throughout the hearing while attorneys on both sides argued logistics and pending motions ahead of the trial. She addressed the court exactly once, a murmured good afternoon to Judge William Sullivan when he greeted her at the start, and then she went silent and mostly stared straight ahead. Whatever was happening behind her eyes in that courtroom, she kept it entirely to herself. Her parents were there, Paula and Mike Musgrove, Lindsay's mother and father, sitting in a courtroom for the first time. They had reportedly spent most of the last 3 years living in a hotel near Tewksbury State Hospital, close enough to visit her, their daughter daily, showing up for her in the only way left available to them, in the limited hours and spaces a psychiatric institution allows. Outside the courthouse afterward, Paula Musgrove spoke to reporters. She was crying. She said, "She's a loving mother. She's always been." And then she stopped herself. "I can't say any more," is what she said. Her husband, Mike Musgrove, stood beside her and said, "We love our daughter very much, and we're here just to support her any way we possibly can." Two parents outside a courthouse defending their daughter who is charged with the murder of their grandchildren. There is no angle from which that sentence isn't completely devastating. There's no framing that makes it less than what it is. A family broken at every level simultaneously trying to hold itself together around something that has no good center of gravity. Defense attorney Kevin Reddington spoke to reporters that same day outside the courthouse. He said he was protective of Lindsay. He said it had been enormously draining for her, that she was nervous and scared, and that he wanted her to gradually acclimate to the process that was coming. Nervous and scared, more than 3 years after January 24th of 2023, still inside whatever this is. Patrick Clancy has his own grief, his own lawsuit, his own version of accounting that may never be fully settled. He grieves three children. He has concluded formally and legally that the medical system bears responsibility for their deaths. He does not hold their mother accountable in the way the prosecution does. He is carrying all of that simultaneously. He's been carrying it since the night he came home with dinner, and he's never shown any sign of putting any of it down. There is no verdict coming that will resolve the arithmetic for Patrick Clancy. There is no outcome in Plymouth that makes the math add up. There is grief for three children. And there is what he has publicly described as love for Lindsay that survived what happened on January 24th. And those two things are both real, and they do not cancel each other out. He has decided that. He has lived inside that decision for more than 3 years. Whether his choice represents grace or denial or something the English language doesn't have a good word for, that conversation has been running since the first statement and shows absolutely no sign of stopping. Three graves, two civil lawsuits, one man who decided that grief and love are not mutually exclusive. Two parents in a hotel parking lot showing up daily because there's nothing else left to do. A woman in a wheelchair who said good afternoon to a judge, then went quiet and stared ahead to keep whatever she was thinking entirely to herself. The trial hasn't started. None of this is over. And every single person connected to this case is still living inside it every day with no exit and no clean answer waiting on the other side. If you've experienced this or something like it, or just come up to the edge, your voice matters and deserves to be heard. Please join us in the comments section and weigh in on Substack and YouTube, because I can guarantee there are other people coming here, watching this story, relating to the story, and feeling very alone. Here's a chance to use some of that pain and that horrific experience to help others. I've been through it, not to this level. My kids are alive. But I've been pretty close to where Patrick sits. Or more so where he was while this was going on. While the shifts of medication, while going to doctor, the madness, the trying to find a solution. And sitting by your loved one every day trying to help them through the hell that their brain is putting them through. And many days not recognizing who that person is, and that person not recognizing who that person is themselves. It's real, it's horrible, it's damaging, and more people need to understand what the hell it is and take it seriously. Especially the medical community, co-figure. If you or someone you know is experiencing postpartum mental health challenges, the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline offers 24/7 support. You can call or text 833-943-5746. 833-943-5746. Again, we'll continue the conversation in the comments section. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
His bone crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming. Because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today. I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once-daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.